So, good morning for a third time. Today, as we've alluded to throughout the service already, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to live kind of inside out. When I was thinking about what I was going to teach today and how I was going to have the students help me a little bit, Jeff sent me something on our identity in Christ. And the first thing that came to my mind was this movie that came out a few months ago in June, a new Disney Pixar movie entitled Inside Out. It's a really cute movie. It's a very fascinating movie. It deals with the personification of emotions within this little girl named Riley's head, right? Her brain is called headquarters. And there's these five emotions: anger, fear, disgust, joy, and sadness. So these five emotions, there's many more emotions, but that's the ones they focused on. And so it goes throughout Riley's life, and it goes from, you know, times where she's interacting with her parents to then how her emotions are kind of personified in her head. So it kind of goes into headquarters and her emotions. It kind of shows, it's a really cool picture on how our emotions kind of control us. So it gives a pretty cool picture on what it looks like to have emotions and what it is going on throughout our body from when you're young all the way to when you're older. And she ends up moving from her friends and where she's comfortable to somewhere else. And of course, as she becomes a teenager, you know, she doesn't have many friends and, you know, she wishes she could go back home and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to spoil all the whole movie. I actually haven't seen the complete movie. I read a lot of reviews on it. Because I haven't been able to go out to the theaters yet, and it's not out anywhere else. But what happens is two of her emotions get kind of lost inside of her body, and it leaves the other three emotions to kind of control her as the other two emotions are trying to fight the rest of Riley's body to get back to headquarters, her brain, to kind of even everything out. So there's memories that are kind of get, you know, stored and that kind of stuff. So what I want to do right now is I have about a minute clip, and it kind of shows a little bit of what I'm talking about, how it kind of personifies her emotions and how they interact with her and make her do certain things. So take a look at the screen for just a few moments. That's so simplistic, and it's funny, but how real is that by how our emotions control us so much like that, right? I haven't seen the whole thing, but I think anger is my favorite. Mainly because they personified him as this old man with like a tie and a shirt on, and he's like blah, 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 all grumpy and angry and all that kind of stuff. And just the fact that he's like, oh, no dessert, fine, I'm going to like scream and yell, and he screams and yells and she screams and yells, right? So, but just in that one clip, so the blue character, sadness, joy was the tall, glowing, happy one, and then fear was the purple one. And you could kind of see each of their personality in that one clip, because disgust says, oh my goodness, it's broccoli, and fear goes, oh, is it safe? Like, oh my goodness, I'm not sure, what's going on, right? And sadness is just sitting there all sad, just like, mmm. And joy is kind of like, oh, this is cool, blah, 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 happy-go-lucky, rainbow, sunshine, puppies, right? So it's such a simple idea, but it's so true on how our emotions can cloud us sometimes, and our emotions can get the better of us, and sometimes we live too much on our emotions and how they can kind of control everything about us if we let it in a certain way, shape, or form. So we're going to kind of be talking in this light about inside out emotions and stuff like that, about how it deals with our identity in Christ. Right, who we are in Christ. Speaking specifically on if you're a believer and you've made that proclamation to believe in Christ as your personal Savior who died and shed His blood and resurrected 3 days later and then sent His Holy Spirit after, and if you believe in that and you profess in that, and if you are called a child of God, then we have this thing of our identity. Right, and where it lies day in and day out. Does our identity lie in who Christ is, and do we act that way? Or does our identity lie within ourselves and what we can do and our emotions and our feelings and everything of that sort. It's the age-old spirit versus flesh dichotomy here. So we're going to be talking a little bit about what it looks like to live in Christ, to live with our identity being in Christ. It's not easy. Boy, is it not easy all the time. But we're going to look at a couple things, and in a little while, I'm going to invite some of my emotions up here on stage and give a little personified look on what goes on inside my head sometimes, and how I can live on one side of the coin or the other side of the coin. But what I want to bring you back to is, as I was preparing for this and thinking, something really struck me in my head. Something, you know, God recalled something I heard before from this stage, actually. Paul Tripp was here about 3 years ago in 2012, and he talked about how every day we talk to ourselves, right? And how no one speaks louder to ourselves than ourselves. And what he was saying is that we preach some sort of gospel to ourselves every single day, every single minute, every single hour of the day. He said, things you say to you, about God, about life, he said, were profoundly important. And he said, they set the agenda for how you're going to think, what you're going to desire, what you're going to say, what you're going to do as you face the normal things of life. And these are things that were popping back up into my head. And I was like, man, that's so true. Is I am the most influential person to me in my life, because I'm the only one that's up in here. And please, I'm the only one that should be up in here. You wouldn't want to be up in here most days, okay? I'm the only one that's up in here 24/7, 365, and I'm going to be the one that's going to tell me lots of things every single day. So I talk to me more than anybody talks to me. And I preach the gospel to myself more than anyone will preach the gospel to myself day in and day out. So with this, there's an inherent problem that could arise. And this problem that we all deal with at times is how we view ourselves. So the problem that we face is how you view yourself and where that view is going to take you, what identity you're going to rest in, Christ or yourself. So, I talked about what it looks like to become a believer and become a child of God. That's the first thing that happens when we choose to believe what Christ has done for us, and we choose to take that blood that shed for us to cover our sins, and we become part of God's family. We move from simply just creation of something that God created to now a child in his family. So God changes our name. It's like my wife, Jess. Before I married her, she was a Stauffer. That was her last name. But once we stood in front of each other and we said, I do, we put rings on and we were declared married before God and before the state of Pennsylvania and everyone that was at our wedding, she then ceased to be a Stauffer and her name changed to Savoca. Her name was changed. In the same way, when we once were dead in our sins, dead in our transgressions, it says in 2 Corinthians, with the old is gone and the new has come. We are new creations. We are now, instead of just a creation of God, we are now a child of God. We are adopted into God's family. And that's when we can start resting our identity in Christ. Along with changing our name, God changes our eternity. He changes our eternity. Before we're part of God's family, eternity would be separation from God. Eternal separation from God. But Christ came down to bridge that gap and to give us a way to be able to have eternal connection with God, or eternal life with God forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. And then lastly, God changes our longings. Before we were adopted into God's family, we would probably just live for ourselves, selfishly. We would look out for number one. Now, as a child of God, there's still times we may live selfishly, but we can now look at the bigger picture with our identity being in Christ, and we can now live selflessly. We can be a servant to one another. We know that there's someone greater that we serve, and to do that, we can serve each other. So now we stop thinking about just ourselves, but we start thinking about others. It says in Romans 8:6, it says, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. And then later in Romans 8:12-14 says this, so dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you keep on following it, you will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So I want to introduce you to my emotions that come into my head at times. So I'm going to ask my three student helpers that are going to be the personification of some of my emotions sometime in my head that kind of deal with how it looks like to either live in my own identity and serve myself or to live in identity in Christ and to serve Him with my life. My first emotion is insecurity. You know, insecurity is kind of self-doubt. There's times where I'm not sure of things. I'm not sure of what God's doing or what He's doing in my life or whatnot. So this is what insecurity tells me at times. That's the lie that insecurity tells me. You see, to fight this battle between the identity in Christ or the identity in ourself, we have to first fight the lies. We have to fight the lies that we tell ourselves day in and day out, that we start believing about ourselves day in and day out. Going back to what Paul Tripp told us, we talk to ourselves the loudest and the most every day of our life. So we can convince ourselves that those lies are truths at times. So that was insecurity. And sometimes insecurity can also morph a little bit and kind of look the same, but it has a different name to it. It's called fear, right? Fear in the unknown, fear and uncertainty, straight up just fear. I'm afraid of heights. Anybody else afraid of heights? Okay, you will never get me on a roller coaster, no matter how many times you try, you will never get me on a roller coaster, okay? I will not get on a roller coaster because all you do is you're going up and you're going up. And I tell myself, because I've done it like once or twice, I tell myself, don't look down. Don't look down. Look straight out. Don't look down. And I go, okay. And then I'm like, okay. But so this is the lie that fear tells me sometimes. See, that's what fear tells me sometimes. Listen, your friends, they're going to make fun of you, man. I wouldn't take a stand for God right now. Not right now. Your friend, listen, you don't want to do that, okay? You don't want to do it. You could be alone. You don't want to be alone, do you? Being alone stinks. You don't want to do that right now because just stay in your seat. Don't say a word. That way no one has to make fun of you. No one has to know who you are. None of that. But that's a lie that fear tells us. That's a real, real lie that fear tells us. Sometimes I'm so struck with fear at times. The next lie The next emotion I want you to see, hear from, is selfish or selfishness. You know, I'm a human being, and human beings are hardwired to think of me and me and me. And that's a hard thing to unwire from. So this is what selfishness says to me sometimes. You know, sometimes it's so hard to give yourself so much and then maybe not ever see anything, any fruits from that. And it makes you want to just say, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to look out for myself because I know how to take care of myself. I can take care of myself better than anybody else can take care of myself. I know what I like better than anybody else knows what I like. So I'm just going to worry about me. That's a lie. That is a lie. That's living in my own identity and not in Christ. And then probably the biggest one for me personally is the next emotion that I'm going to show you. This emotion's called pride. Okay? Pride is, I mean, it's right there. It's, you know, thinking of myself, I'm the best, right? No one's better than me. So this is the lie that pride tells me sometimes.
All right, God, so thanks for all the help there in that moment. You know, you really got me out of that pinch, but I'm pretty sure I can handle this all on my own now. I mean, it's pretty easy. I mean, people should just follow me because I'm so awesome and I set such a great example.
That's right. Man, that sounds so crazy to hear, right? Because here's the thing. I'm the type of person where I think things and they sound okay in my brain until I bounce them off somebody else, and the moment I hear them come out of my mouth, I go, what? That's so stupid. That sounds so ridiculous. That sounded so ridiculous. But gosh, isn't that what I think in my brain sometimes? Right? It's in there. If we're real with each other, it's in there. And sometimes it's in there so much that we start acting it out. We start living that way. That is so the opposite of living in Christ. So how do we remember who we belong to? First, we have to fight the lies. So I showed you some of my emotions. So the second thing we need to do is while we fight the lies, we need to feed on truth. We need to fight the lies, and we need to feed on truth. Matthew 4:4 says this, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This right here, this is truth. This is truth. So we need to feed ourselves on the truth. That is how we're going to starve the lies. So how do we feed on truth? Where I told you there's two sides of the coin, all right? So what I just showed you is one side of the coin, living for self. So what would it look like if I chose to live on the other side of the coin, inside out, right, from the norm? If I chose to live on that other side of the coin, instead of insecurity, I would live with confidence. Instead of insecurity, I would live with confidence. And here's what confidence in Christ looks like.
In God's word, Hebrews 3:6, it says, "But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory."
The hope in which we glory, that's Jesus Christ. Amen? Confidence in Christ. That's how we can remember that our identity lies in Christ. So instead of insecurity, I can live with confidence. And let me be very clear. I'm not saying, like I said earlier, that these things are going to be easy, because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy in the least bit, because we're so wired for our sinful nature. But it's conscious choices to make day in and day out, hour by hour, minute by minute, to live on the opposite side of the coin. So instead of insecurity, confidence. Instead of fear, we can live in faith. Instead of fear, we can live in faith. And this is what faith could say to us.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11:6.
Faith. Faith that God knows what he's doing. Whether it may seem crazy to us, whether it may seem nuts, whether we don't know what the heck's going on, and we want to know, God, please tell me what you're doing. He knows what he's doing. We can live in faith. And then next, instead of living in selfishness or selfishly, we can live with selflessness, or we can live selfless. And this is the truest picture of living selflessly. He took our place. He paid our debt. So we can strive to live the same way, to be a servant of all, not to worry about me, 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 but to worry about you, you, you. Because if everybody else worries about everybody else, then you can be sure that someone's going to be taking care of you. You can take care of somebody else. But the moment you start taking care of yourself and you forget that other person or this person or that person, the chain breaks and everything falls. The pyramid falls. Right, so let's live selflessly, not selfishly. And lastly, instead of living with pride, I know you know what's coming, we can live with humility. Instead of pride, we can live with humility. And this is what God says about pride and humility.
God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5:5-6.
This is one of my life verses that I've had since I was probably 16 years old, and I have it even through the rest till verse 10. But God's very clear that he doesn't want prideful hearts. God's very clear about that, that he wants humility. He wants a humble, a meek spirit. Because pride, you can't work with pride. But humility allows for all these other things to happen. Humility allows for selflessness. Humility allows for faith. And humility allows for confidence to come to the forefront. Thank you, emotions. You are dismissed. Let's give a hand for our emotions. My emotions. So to end here, there's one main thing I want you guys to, if there's one main thing to leave with, it's this. The first four emotions, insecurity, fear, selfishness, pride, they all have one thing in common. It makes my life about me. It makes me the center of my life. It makes me my own God. It makes me the one to worship. And that's clearly not what God says in here. The opposite, inside out, from what our flesh says, is the other side of the coin. Confidence in Christ, faith, being a servant, selflessness, humility, the list goes on and on. That makes it all about God, not about me. It makes God the center of my life. It makes God the God of my life. It makes God the one to worship with my life. Again, like I said, I'm not naive enough to stand up here and say these things and just say, go ahead and go do it. It's easy. It's not easy. It's a battle. It's a battle day in and day out. And I don't know what your battles are specifically. These are just four of my emotions. You may have some of the same. You may have some different ones that crop up in your life from time to time. But what I will say is there's a different side of the coin to every single one. And that side of the coin is living in Christ and seeing what God says in here to live by. It's not what I say. I'm not saying this to you. My voice is saying it, but it's what God says in this word to live by. And it's a challenge. It's a struggle day in and day out. So I don't surmise what you guys go through. That's something that you and God have to deal with on a personal level. And what it looks like for you to live, either are you living in yourself or are you living in Christ, with your identity rooted in Christ. The last thing I'll leave you with is this. I read a book when I was 16 years old about our identity in Christ, and this always has stuck with me. Here's a good way to think about our identity in Christ is if you have your identity in your money, how much you make, once your money's gone, what do you have left? Your identity is gone. You crumble. If you have it in your car, your possessions, your house, your family, if they all disappear, where's your identity left? It crumbles. But if you have your identity focused in Christ and you focus on Him, all those things could become crashing down around you. And yeah, it would hurt. Yeah, it would be hard. But you would have your identity firmly rooted in Christ, and that's a foundation that cannot and will not ever shatter or crumble. So what does it look like to live our identity in Christ? I'm going to pray. And as I pray, the worship team is going to come forward and going to end us in a song. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for who you are in our life, Lord, and what you say to us day in and day out. I know it's difficult and it's a struggle because so often we want to just go to ourselves because that's what's easy. It's natural to go to our sinful nature. It's backwards, but it's inside out to want to live for you sometimes because of how we're wired. But I pray that we consistently make an effort to live in you, to have our identity rooted in you. Because you will never change. You will never falter. You will never break down. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And we can live in the power that comes from your Son's work on the cross in our lives. So we pray here and now in this moment that we want to strive to live for you with our identity in you. And we pray this in your name, who is our life today. Amen.